Skype of Cthulhu presents Delta Green Viscid. The brave Delta Green agents, previously convened in Chicago, went home for a few months. Various things happened until early October of that same year, 2016. We were summoned to Seattle, Washington, and given airplane tickets. So we all flew in except for Agent Enriquez, who decided to drive and who is still driving and will be driving for quite some time from New York to Seattle. And apparently the body of a geneticist, Tybalt Greaves, was found in his house by the paper delivery. And there was some strange stuff about it. The body collapsed into goo. There were some small bloody footprints. Mr. Greaves had a home laboratory, some kind of mad scientist fellow. Some samples from the scene had been placed on an airplane to fly to the CDC, but that airplane crashed somewhere in Clearwater National Park in Idaho, which is where we have dispatched Agent Enriquez to, if he ever manages to get there.
The best of us.
It's at least a little bit closer than Seattle, so he's passing by. The rest of us, posing as CDC agent or CDC personnel, CDC agents. I'm not sure what the right descriptive word there is. But without our actual knowledgeable CDC direction, I kind of fumbled around, talked to some people. I learned that Mr. Greaves was very, very rich. He had patented a blood test and sold it for a large sum of money and was apparently using that money or spending that money on prostitutes and gold diggers. He has a very young girlfriend. We met with some of the neighbors, and that's kind of where we are.
Sounds about right. So, Carlos.
Yo.
What do you have in your car?
What do I have in my car?
Yeah, I mean, what equipment do you have?
Ah, well, in the trunk of the car, I tend to keep some rather serious weaponry wrapped up in duffel bag and so forth, and a little bit of C4, and of course the first aid kit, because you just never know, and my armor as well.
Okay.
Up front is I think just a pile of CDs and probably clothing, you know, just a suitcase. And then I think there's probably a baseball bat under the front seat there.
Okay. And let's see. Did we actually work out how far you had got?
We'd kind of gotten him to Ohio or something, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So let's say if you started driving at sort of...
Oh, and the case of... No, I guess he's a pill guy. He's not on energy drinks. Yeah,
he's on caffeine pills. Caffeine pills, yep. Have you got anything harder?
I don't think so. I think he's been doing all right.
Okay.
Any emergency med?
Yeah, no, I think he's been because he got cleaned up a little bit.
Okay, very good. And how fast are you driving?
I would be driving at least 10 or 15 over.
Okay. Why is Google Maps not? Oh, Jesus. Anyway, okay, let's say you're driving along, what is this, freeway 90 or 80?
I-90, yeah.
I-90, and in your mirror you see a police car with its lights on driving behind you.
All right. So I will pull over to the right lane and see if it, you know, comes in behind me or if it heads on by.
Comes in behind you.
All right, I will pull over.
Okay. The officer gets out of the car, walks up beside you. Have you rolled down your window at this point?
Yep. What time of day are we?
It's probably mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
I think because if the others arrived sort of shortly after midday, been investigating a couple of hours over there. So, yeah, let's say it's 3 o'clock, something like that.
Afternoon.
Afternoon there. Can I see your driver's license, please?
Of course. I'll hand over, which I've gotten ready, my license and registration.
Yep, okay.
The car, this one's mine. It's the cab that's my brother's.
This is not the cab, right? I was going to ask. What kind of car is it?
It's a cab, you know, it's a big sedan, but it's not, it's not the cab.
Mm-hmm. He goes off, runs your license. Returns, hands it back over to you and says, you got any drugs or firearms in the car?
Yeah. Got a pistol in the glove box.
Would you mind stepping out of the car, please, sir?
No. And I will hand him my gun license. It's maybe irrelevant.
Yeah, okay. He will reach for his radio and start reporting uncooperative suspect.
Request. No. Oh, really? I get out of the car and hand him my license.
Yeah.
I don't, but he's still is calling uncooperative.
If you get out of the car, then...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry, okay. I thought I said that.
Yeah, no, I thought you said no, as in.
Oh.
Right, no, I see. Yeah, you were saying, I do not mind. Excellent. Okay, so, he looks at that. He asks you to open the, can you open the trunk, please?
Of course. And I will go around and unlock it with the key and pop it up.
Okay. What will he see in here?
He will see a spare tire and the jack stuff, and then like an old army coat and duffel bag kind of stuff. Just pushed up in the back of the trunk there.
Okay. And when he reaches down and opens the duffel bag?
No, before he does that. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I don't think you have any right to search my vehicle.
What are you doing when you say this?
I'm talking to him. I mean, I'm standing by the trunk, and so as he sort of starts to lean down, I'm saying that to him.
Okay. And so would you mind stepping back, sir?
Yes, I would mind. As I say, you have no right to search my vehicle. I have no interest in you searching my vehicle.
Okay. He's going to pull out his gun and point it at you and ask you to kneel down, place your hands above your head.
Wow. That seems like an illegal arrest. 3 in the afternoon, 15 hours in, huh? I think I'll make my little sand check. See how that goes.
Okay.
Not so well. All right, I will attempt to disarm him.
Oh. Wow.
Oh, come on, Jonathan. You didn't think You didn't honestly think he was just going to go quietly and you could just fly him to Seattle, did you?
It's worth seeing what would happen. Yeah, okay.
So what's our fighting dodge? Yeah. Unarmed combat, I guess, right?
Yes. So the do you know how the opposed checks work in Delta Green? Slightly different.
Well, I assume I roll mine and you roll yours.
Yes. Yeah. So let's do that.
So I get a normal success.
Okay, I need some stats for this officer, so hold on just one second.
Oh, he won't live long enough, I wouldn't worry about it.
At least need unarmed combat.
40 space.
Yeah, okay, so he...
For an agent.
Rolls, okay, he gets a success with a 63.
Holy cow.
65. The way opposed checks work, if I remember this correctly, if you both succeed, it's the person who succeeds with the highest roll who wins.
Oh, okay.
Let me just double check that. And I believe if you both fail, then the person who succeeds is the one with the lowest. So something like that. I can opposed tests. Here we go. You succeed, the opponent succeeds. Critical success always beats success. Otherwise, whoever rolled higher succeeds and the other fails.
Oh, that's him.
Yeah. Okay, so, right. All right. He what's he going to do? Yeah, he's going to take a couple of steps back as you go in to disarm him, and he gets this terribly panicked look on his face, and he's going to blurt out a code phrase that you recognize. It's a Delta of Green code phrase.
Oh, okay.
He says, "Fuck's sake, so man! We're just supposed to bring you in."
What? So halfway to jumping at him, I will stop. I will slam the trunk down, and I will say, "Lead on, asshole," and I will get back in my car, unless he stops me.
No, he's gonna. He's say, "I had orders to take you to an airfield."
Idiots.
What are you doing? Are you gonna? Are you implying you want him to?
To lead to the
airfield. Him. Yeah. Okay. Then. Yeah. You can sort of tell he's you know, all the blood has drained from his face and his heart's pumping rapidly. You spot the signs of, you know, the adrenaline flowing, and he somewhat shakily puts his gun away, and then heads back to this patrol car.
Idiot agents! What are they doing? So I will get on the phone. Do I have a way of contacting what's his face? Peter? That's not his name. Our handler?
Yep.
I will text or call. I'd rather call him.
Okay. Carlos?
What are you doing? You know I don't fly.
What are you doing?
I was getting there as fast as I could until your idiot pulled me over and nearly got us both killed.
Jesus Christ. You can't drive halfway across... No, you can't drive all the way across the country when we need you for a mission urgently. What the hell do you think you're doing?
I'll be there in time. You know there's always a slow part up front while the smart guys look around, and then you bring in the muscle.
You are
seriously... Have I ever let you down?
My patience, Carlos.
Well, if you stick me on a plane, you won't have much left of me. You know that.
You have to put your own fears aside and think of the program and the mission.
I am. You want me and my equipment there in good form, or do you want someone useless there with a set of brass knuckles?
Look, I know you get results, Carlos, but not everyone in the program is as patient as me.
That's why I got stuck with you, you lucky man.
There's only so much I can do.
Well, that's your job.
Fine. Well, be it on your own head.
All right. Well, hangs call up. Off your call off your room there.
He hung up by the.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay. Over in Mill Creek. Let's see, who's there? So we have Detective Duntzer. We have, I believe, Peter Walters, Anne Crane, and Michael Wood. Is that correct?
Sounds right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Detective Duntzer and I think it was... Anne Crane had been interviewing.
It looks like from the notes it was Green tagging along.
Yeah, Green. Oh, right.
Oh, I was here. You were tagging along.
Let's see.
Yeah, because we had Green escorting Duntzer, right?
Or the other way around.
The other way around. Duntzer's local Chicago. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Duntzer is not in the program, so whereas Green is now,
and
one of our mission parameters is to keep an eye on her.
Mm-hmm.
So, 'cause she learns too much, need to take her out.
Our contact was the CDC person, right? Not the detective. Gotcha.
Right. Sorry. The way I keep track of who's where is I actually have piles of character sheets and I just shuffle them around because I don't have Greens printed out. I keep forgetting them. Sorry about this. Let me just do some printing here. There we go. One.
I just need a blank piece of paper with the word Green written on it.
Yeah, actually, that's a next purpose solution. Hold on, let me do that.
You can't last long enough to...
so you're not worth freaking out.
Right. Okay.
I mean, at least you're there, you know.
Right. It's an improvement for last session.
Showed up for work and all that.
Okay, we have Lester Green.
So did you say that Crane was or Kane's there?
So not currently. Okay. So Roberta Kane is the sort of lead CDC agent in the area. And the rest of you know that she is a program friendly. So she knows bits of the, you know, the she knows that this is an organization that deals with unusual threats, but she hasn't necessarily had an encounter herself. She's not been fully inducted into the program, but she was the one who originally contacted you. And you know that she was responsible for the initial lockdown of the Greaves residence and the Seattle CDC sort of swept the place, removed a lot of the equipment that they could from the lab. There were, you know, some bits of pretty heavy industrial machinery that sort of bolted in part of the fabric. They couldn't remove that, but they took basically anything they could. And you know that Roberta Kane will have that material somewhere. And she was also the one responsible for sending the biological samples on the CDC flight. So I'm guessing at some point these guys will come and talk to you. I hope so. They encourage you to do so. Right. And let's see here. We have Steve, Lester Green. Yes. So Lester Green is with Emily Duntzer and Anne Crane. They've just been to interview some of the locals. I think Peter Walters, you were there as well because you wanted to go and investigate the lab at the Greaves residence. So I'll say you're there. And actually, Jim,
okay.
Michael Wood was on the way, wasn't he, to basically go hunting?
Correct.
Okay, so we can sort of have you all sort of arrive in outside the Greaves residence at around the same time. If anyone wants to say anything or do anything.
Compare notes, I'm sure, and I think we might be wasting our time here. Maybe our first directive is to find. We may need to go to follow the materials to, what is it, Idaho?
Well, but there's still those strange footprints.
That's right.
We haven't looked at the lab yet, and we were specifically going to be looking at the lab with Peter.
Yep.
The scientist.
Yep. Yeah, I think you guys can look at the lab to figure out maybe try to figure out what he was doing here. And I will circle the neighborhood and see if I can figure out where the whatever it was went.
The footprint thing, yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, Michael, maybe you should take some of the Lester and Emily with you. They seem to sort that might be able to track things.
Sounds good.
You are correct. I will be going with Michael.
Okay. We have Anne and Peter heading in to look at the lab. Okay, let's go with Anne and Peter first. So by the time you get there, there's still a police officer just maintaining the perimeter outside, but you can quite easily flash your badges and be let on in. The house itself is a relatively small four-bedroom house with a small garden out back. And
sorry, do we have Roberta with us as well?
I mean, if it's easiest to just say, if it's easiest to introduce her by just saying she comes down to sort of show you around the lab here. Let's do that. Okay, then. So, Gary, do you want to introduce your character?
I should be hopefully off mute.
You are.
Cool. Roberta Kane, she's late 30s, grey hair, female, fairly harsh-looking woman, very focused. She does have the air of a doctor about her, and she seems to carry a stethoscope, whether or not it's just for looks and just because. But and she has a CDC badge. Mm-hmm. And when she introduces herself, she's a member of the Office of Public Health Preparedness and Response.
Okay. Actually, I remember last time we didn't fully get an introduction for Emily. So, Henrik, would you like to just describe Emily Duntzer for everyone?
Sure. She's medium height, a bit stocky, seems to be strong, sand-colored hair and a ponytail. With a slightly gracious way of walking as well, somehow getting that all that together. She's 39 years old. I don't think you know anything more about her at this stage, because you sure. Probably just said hi and she tagged along.
Okay.
But she's just a regular officer at the county sheriff's office.
Okay. So those heading into the house, so we say that's Roberta and Peter, you notice that the house is really nicely done up inside, much more than you would sort of expect from the... This is a nice neighborhood, but it's certainly not a rich part of town. But it's clear that, and you know that Greaves had money, and it's clear that he's done it to a high standard inside. You can see some. You actually see a series of plastic cups dotted around the hallway, and Roberta at least knows that, and the rest of you who've seen the photos, these are where the strange malformed footprints were. You assume they're still there.
Yeah, I was about to say, are they still there? Glancing down.
Yeah, I mean, you can go and pick one up, have a look, and yep. Sure enough, there are these. Well, actually, you have some biology, so make a anyone looking at this can make a biology roll.
I've got a pretty good biology.
Okay, I can do that.
Zero 09, which would be
much better than my role.
Yep. Okay. So it's hard. It's hard to figure out what this is. Just looking at it,
extreme success. Sorry.
So in Delta Green, we're using the Delta Green rules. So okay. Crits are when your digits match. So you get
doubles.
Yeah. Saying 11 okay. on a skill of 60, then that would be a crit. So with a 22, 33, and a 0-1. And likewise for critical failure, it's when the digits match, but it's above your skill. So yeah, anyway, it's
thank you.
A normal success. So it's clear this is some kind of it's a thumb or a toe, because there's like a fingerprint pattern that's being left. It's small. It's clearly not an adult. But looking closer, it seems to be a mixture of like thumb and finger digits as well as toes.
And is there anything? So, is this an unnatural roll to see if we've seen or read about anything, or is this a cult?
I'd say there's no. You don't have to roll for this. Racking your brains, you can't think of anything particularly occult about this.
Okay.
And I don't think you've encountered anything. I mean, it's not. It's. It is unusual, possibly unnatural, but it's not unnatural in the sense of the unnatural role, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, if it disturbs you enough, then you're welcome to make a sanity roll, but...
Oh, no.
So you can follow them through, and you do eventually find the laboratory. Behind the there's a closet, and opening that there's a hidden door at the back of the closet, and that just opens up into something that's probably relatively familiar looking to Peter and Roberta. This is about as close as you can tell a level 4 biosafety lab.
Yeah. Dang.
This is you would certainly have access to one of these at the CDC. You know, major research universities would have access to this. Hospitals dealing with, you know, particularly infectious diseases might have one of these. You know, something airborne like Ebola or, it is obvious that just looking around, you see highly specialized equipment. There's expensive air conditioning and scrubbing units. There's a large cabinet laboratory. The thing that has like two gloves that you put your hands into. And there's a perspex screen between you and the materials inside. You know what I'm describing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, I know exactly.
And it is clear that this room alone contains equipment worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh yeah, he's got wow. some high end stuff. I mean, we've got yeah. this at a level at CDC. But what is that in there? And I'll go closer to take a look at what is in the actual containment.
I'm going to look and see if there's like a biohazard suit with an airline for me to put on, because I'm not going in that lab.
So Roberta, you were actually, you led the cleanup or the sort yep. of, investigation in this room initially, so mm-hmm. you were the one who personally recovered the original samples from here. So there were odd sort of blue white samples of
samples. Okay,
you that's what was described it as unknown biological material. There were various notes like handwritten laboratory lab books. You dispatched these to Atlanta on the secure flight. Looking, you know, as you come over, Peter, and look at the cabinet laboratory as well, you can clearly see that there's a. I say clearly, but it's very small. But when Roberta points this out, there's a hole in the right glove.
Quick question. That,
yes.
The book that you said that I would have sent out on the fly, any chance I would have been able to get it copied before it was taken?
You did not, no.
Okay. No, not a problem. Okay. So, yeah, that's all in there. Be careful.
But I'll say that you could have looked through it, and it was clear that there were, yeah, this was a, the kind of laboratory book you would expect a working research scientist to keep.
So this dude was a research scientist. Question, the footprints or handprints or hand footprints that we saw, were they leading to this place or leaving from it?
From
this room.
Yep.
Okay. So whatever that thing is came from here.
While you consider all of that,
is there any potential like surveillance cameras that he would have set up to watch the lab himself?
No.
Okay.
And you actually. You note that the house does have a standard domestic security system. you know, sort of burglar alarm and door and window sensors, but
no cameras.
No cameras.
Michael, you're not going into the room. Peter, you're not going into the room, Peter.
I will if I mean, I've been informed it's been fully decontaminated. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So what you know and what Roberta can tell you is that they did initially scrub this place in full biohazard suits once they realized that there was possibly some kind of biohazard here, but everyone who was exposed, including Miss Dunser, Detective Dunser, were medevaced to a nearby medical center that deals with infectious diseases, and they were cleared. As far as I can tell, there's no sign that they have any contamination or disease.
Cool. Well, let's go and look around. Maybe we'll find something.
I'm going to actually go wander around the rest of the house while the science-y sorts look in the lab, but if you want to jump to the other group, that's cool.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So you can easily do a search of the rest of the house, and you realize that things like you can actually find Dr. Greaves's office. You know, it's clearly just a standard home office. There's like a computer monitor and keyboard on the desk, but you can see that the actual computer box itself has been removed. You find sort of a couple of like charging cables and things for like an iPhone, smartphone, and you can see that the phones have probably been taken. You guess that in a case like this, they've taken all the electronic devices down to probably the police station. But you do find like some filing cabinets, and you can riffle through those, and you see you actually see some of the like his printouts of his tax returns and things. This is some information I believe you already had anyway, doing some looking through IRS databases, but you can see that he probably did his own taxes. You can actually riffle through some of the papers. There's construction invoices for renovations, but you also find a series of invoices for construction, and the thing that sort of piques your interest is that one round of construction, this was all around the same time, about April 2010, a company called Thompson Specialty Construction was hired, and there's an invoice for roughly $80,000. Then there's a second round of construction by another company called Monmouth Weather and Fitting for around $100,000. And then you see a third invoice for a firm called Pacific Northwest HVAC. It's listed as air filtration and conditioning unit.
Sorry, what was the first company there?
Thompson Specialty Construction.
Okay.
And you actually you note there's a letter in all of this that refers to some sort of work stoppage. It seems there was it looks like Greaves actually paid for all of these projects with cashier's checks and wire deposits. You can see that there's you can see the bank details and the account numbers on there. The bank is actually located in the Grand Caymans.
His bank is.
Yes.
I have a quick question, Jonathan.
Sure.
Did I have on my CDC team anybody who was actually, say, a computer specialist?
I don't believe you do.
Okay. Not a problem, because I was just wondering, because I'd be interested in the data on those discs myself.
Yeah, so you know that basically the CDC handled the sort of cleanup of the laboratory, whereas the yeah. police department sort of took relevant items from the rest of the house.
Yeah, you guys wouldn't have anybody who's good with computers, because I'd be interested in some of the data that's on those discs.
Yes, and is very good with computers.
Well, I can give him a call and get your entrance to take a look at those discs.
Yes. Just one thing before we go on. Jonathan, in his tax returns, now that I have sort of the physical ones, are there the attached W-2 forms that indicate who might have been paying him? Or is it all sort of interest off of money he's made previously?
Yeah, you can. Okay, what's your... You're going to say, can you make an accounting roll?
I can. Can I help you? Can I help
Ms. Well, you certainly can, but I'm really just looking. I mean, I can tell you my tax returns have got the W-2s attached right on to what I submitted.
Sure, yeah. Then it looks like, as far as you can tell, the money just... So his source of income in recent years... is all investment income, basically.
I just want to make sure nobody I was just trying to see if somebody was paying him to do these things.
Sure. I mean, you can easily find that he has no regular income at this stage.
And you started talking about note on work stoppage. He had paid for everything by cashier checks, but then he stopped paying?
Yeah, there's something that you don't quite understand. So that's what I'd say you're going to need to make an accounting roll. But if you want to call for Peter.
I will certainly grab these papers and bring them down to see.
Okay. Okay, so we'll come back to that. Yep. Hold that thought. And... So, Detectives Green, Duntzer, and Agent Wood.
Yeah. So, I will just note to the others in the timeline that I think it was a really good call from Wood to look to the area, because this Fanny was found dead on the 2nd nearby, or went missing on the 2nd. Which was a day after the bodies were discovered at the scene. So something may still be loose. And then I want to quiz, as I stick to him like Lou, or stick to her, Emily, about any details she may have found in the house that weren't on the report. Like, did the footprints come from outside? Did they leak from the girlfriend's body to the lab, or did they happen vice versa? And, you know, did they confiscate the computer, you know, as regular operating, anything else in the room?
In the house. Lester, so nice that you're talking. You were so quiet all the time before. Yes, I'll be happy to tell you everything that I remember, of course. This is so exciting. So everything I know actually is in the briefing summary. I think you had it as well. Mm-hmm. Out of character here. So I will just recount some memories of that and tell you. Yeah, it was very. I wasn't too happy to be shipped off to the hospital right away. I wanted to stay in. Examine everything. It wasn't like we were sick or anything, but that's all I remember.
Okay. What about the footprints and the direction? Would he have picked up those details, like, you know, where they originated, or where they come from, body to the lab, or lab to the body? Which way? Which direction? Things like that.
Yeah. It doesn't say, I think. It says, I followed the strange tracks to the closet that holds the furnace. Behind the furnace, I found the room, the biohazard lab. So they were going that way from the body, as I understand it.
The girlfriend's body originated there and then went to the lab.
So as far as you've been able to piece together, the footprints originated from the lab.
Okay, from the lab. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, that's important. And they did confiscate the computer?
And I mean, Dunser would know that. Yes, they actually they have like the laptop. They got a couple of laptops, couple of smartphones, and a desktop tower computer back at the sheriff's office.
Right. Just want to make sure they have control of all those things. We need to contain that. I think to myself.
Mm-hmm. What's Michael doing while this discussion is going on?
So I have geared up. Body armor, carbine. I'm going hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And having seen the photos of the footprints before, I kind of generally know, or hopefully will recognize something resembling what I'm looking for. Then I'm going to start by sweeping a perimeter around the house and then kind of spiraling outwards from there to see if I can pick up any trace of either the footprints themselves or similar footprints would be nice. Sure. Or if not, anything that kind of indicates an animal of that size, pushed through this bush or something along those lines.
Okay, so you're the Green's residence itself is on a cul-de-sac, and as you sort of make your way, you sort of go between the Green's residence and the MacReady residence, and you head out into just sort of a bit of greenbelt land at the back and a small stream, and you can see there's mostly just overgrown bushes, and there's a small sort of patch of evergreen forest, and you can sort of see just sort of beyond that that tree line there's another residential area. It's one of those residential areas with lots of winding roads, lots of cul-de-sacs, but with sort of green space dotted in between. So it looks like when you're in one of these cul-de-sacs, it looks like you're kind of in a forest. But actually, if you look down from aerial footage, it's actually fairly densely packed housing.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah. At the back of the house, on the other side of the stream, you do notice like it's sort of a rundown shack, like a large trailer or something has been set up, but it does seem to be abandoned. It's smashed windows and quite overgrown. Can you just what's your alertness?
Alertness 50.
Okay, so you don't need to roll. You're on the look for animals and you're in hunting mode. You do notice there's a number of crows in the area, and you see one in particular as you just sort of survey in the trees in this green belt behind the houses. It's flying very awkwardly. It takes off and it's flying along for a bit, and it's flapping. One wing seems to not be working quite well enough, and then it lands in another tree very nearby and sort of rests for a bit and then tries to fly again. It's sort of hopping from tree to tree.
Do you point that out to us?
No, I'm not going to call you guys yet. I haven't.
I would think we'd be doing. Okay, yeah, I would think we'd be going kind of house to house while he went free.
All right.
Is there?
Sure. I mean, you Henrik and Dunser and Green. If you can make an alertness roll, you can also spot this.
Sure.
Okay.
No, I missed one.
I bet I made mine with a 13. Let's have a look.
I mean, base is 20, so.
Yeah, there you go.
But you don't point it out?
No, I'm not going to point it out to you. Like I said, I'm. It looks like, if we can see this, it looks like Michael's on it. And like I said, I think a good use of what we should do as detectives is maybe talking to neighbors and things like that, find out if they've seen anything, if anything's gone missing, like the spaniel, things like that, kind of around. Maybe the perimeter of the woods would be my suggestion as I continue to pump you for information.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to do something else, then, you know, again, I'm going to...
No.
Okay, my main thing is...
No, that was kind of Emily's reaction, even though she didn't know that you didn't point it out to her.
Yeah.
It wasn't me being...
Yeah. I was...
Maybe getting tired of all the questions.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I was recently where you are, though I'm not... not going to let you know that. So yeah, I understand the importance of keeping it under wraps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the detectives, I mean, you've already interviewed the sort of immediate neighbors. So you, I mean, if you want to continue as you get, you know, obviously further away from the Greaves house, they're going to know less about, they probably won't even know who he is. It's only really the immediate neighbors that he, passing hellos to.
Right. I think it's less about Greaves and more about, you know, we're looking for anyone who might know anything or any overt signs as we go kind of maybe the perimeter of the woods area or whatever, you know. The neighbor said one of the neighbors said the spaniel was missing the day after. So, you know, maybe something's been going through the trash cans or, you know, a small child has gone missing or, you know, anything like that.
So are you actually going door to door? Are you talking to the neighbors? What kind of questions would you be asking?
Yeah. I think as long as Emily's okay with this, like I said, my main thing is to stick close to her. But I would think that we'd, you know, gathering human intelligence, it's boring stuff, but it's important police work, you know, kind of around the perimeter of the woods. Like you said, a lot of the cul-de-sacs back up to the green space. So kind of bopping from cul-de-sac to cul-de-sac to see if information pops up.
All right. So while you're just sort of wandering the streets, you come across someone who's actually pinning flyers to you know, telegraph poles. And it's he's looking for his missing collie called Elliot.
Mm. Listen for a spaniel and a collie. You know, we'll ask him when he went missing and whether he was an outdoor dog in kind of the backyard or, you know, where his house is, things like this.
Yeah, so he'll tell you he lives sort of fairly nearby on one of the neighboring cul-de-sacs. Mm-hmm. And
also by the green space, right?
Yes, yeah. He's normally such a well-behaved dog, but we let him out into the green space this morning when I went for my walk and rushed off into a bush and I called him, but he didn't come back, and he's never run off like this before. He's normally so well-behaved.
Okay. I will radio into Michael when we do that, that it looks like, you know, that's another spot on the, along the green space. You know, it's that help, that might, if that helps him kind of, what do you call it, zero it in to the green space.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's switch back to Michael.
Okay, so I will keep an eye on the crow, because that's kind of possibly mildly interesting, but I will take a look at this shack, because that seems like an interesting place for something to possibly hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so make a search roll.
Search. That is a success.
Okay, so looking, yeah, you can walk up to it and peer in through the window, and you see sort of it's raised up, you know, on bricks, and you can see that there's like a hole in the floor, that, you know, you can peer down into the crawl space below. So it does look like, you know, something, animals or things could get in through that.
Is there access to the crawl space from outside?
It would be a very tight squeeze.
Well, I didn't mean for me, I meant.
Yes.
Okay. Is there like access everywhere, or is there like, you know, just kind of one hole in the foundation?
You sort of circle around the trailer, and there's another, there's actually sort of a hole in the side of the trailer at the back. It almost looks like something's burst out through it.
Are there any tracks?
Yes, there are. Do you have some kind of role? Military science, something like that? Or track isn't an actual skill, is it?
It is not. I do have some military science. I'm not sure this is a military situation.
Sure. Let's do...
I think this is a searching situation.
Let's do a search. Go on, do a search.
Yep, that's a success.
Yes, and they do seem to match the description of this, you know, it looks like something semi-human, small but weird. There's like possibly three fingers and a toe in one of them.
Are they coming? Are they going? Are they coming and going?
Both, yes.
Okay. And you said that there's multiple points of access to get under for something to get under the trailer?
Yes.
Okay. In which case, I will request for Detective Green and Detective Duncer to come join me.
On our way. We'll enter from, you know, the opposite side or whatever we have, the cul-de-sac nearest. That latest animal disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
I just won't need to make sure of this, because it's clearly been here. We'll ask them to, you know, kind of separate out, so we're kind of the three of us are surrounding the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will toss a flashbang grenade in through the hole.
Wow.
yeah, okay.
You, Dunster is a little freaked out.
Yeah. You
do that.
And excited.
There's an explosion. There's a flash. The shack shakes. And then all is quiet. The crows nearby, you know, are startled, and most of them fly away. except for the one who actually, now you can see there's sort of a couple of them. There's two that can't really fly properly.
Do I see it now as well?
Other than the fact that they can't fly properly, is there, I mean, do they have like, you know, a third wing or two heads or?
Make more alertness rolls. Say all of you.
Yep.
That's a success.
Yes, success.
Do you see that?
Go ahead. That's success. Three.
One points. Of them has a. One seems to have like a blue-white streak in its feathers, and its head is tilted to the side at all times. And there's the other one that just seems to be flying in a clumsy manner and having to rest regularly.
Okay. I'm going to look. Oh, sorry.
Do you see those birds? I mean, didn't Torres told us, do you remember, Lester, the guy who found... Mm-hmm. Who found the
newspaper delivery boy, right?
Yeah, that's the one. He told us that crows were eating at the guy.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can find a big enough stick to go club one of these birds and or both of them and see if I can collect them in evidence bags or something like that without touching them.
Yeah, they're up in the trees.
They're up in the trees.
I'm gonna shoot them.
There you go.
Yeah,
I love Micah.
What's your firearm skill? I'm assuming you don't have to roll.
With my carbine, 50%.
Yeah, and you're not under time pressure. They're not moving particularly well. You got a scope.
I have a scope. I have a laser. I have a suppressor. Yeah.
Pow, pow, and there's two crows fall to the ground.
Collect them up without touching them again and scrape them into some bag, evidence
bag. Okay, well,
why don't you get those to Walters and I'll keep searching.
Sounds good. Stay in touch.
I'm going to say we've got Detective Green heading over there to look at the crows. Detective Dunce, are you going over as well?
Yeah, I'm coming with.
Okay, so as you get close to them, can you make sand rolls, please?
Lost track of where
sand. Yeah, I made mine.
There it is. Yes, just barely made it by one.
Okay, so you still lose 1 point. Because what you find is that the crow that was sort of flying a bit clumsily, as you get closer to it, and you sort of maybe you've got have you got some gloves on, evidence gloves? Yeah. So
evidence collecting stuff.
As you reach down to pick up the first crow, you realize it has the first three digits of a human hand growing out of its abdomen.
What the fuck, Lester?
Does this match the footprint you might have seen? Like, do they have like bloody, I don't know, not paws or claws or toes or whatever it is? Does this match what you saw?
Does it?
I mean, They're fingers. They look human.
Are they
I suppose
roughly the same size?
These look like adult human fingers.
Must be biological waste from that geneticist. Treat them with care. Don't touch them.
this can't happen, can it? Lester, have you seen anything like this before with the CDC?
Well, DARPA, you never know what they're up to. That's
DARPA?
DARPA, yeah, that's those.
Are they genetically modifying birds now?
Yeah, there's no telling what they're up to. I'm telling you, these government
types of thing. Yeah, let's take this with us.
So this is standard standard research for this guy.
So I'm going to say this is I mean, this is pretty weird, but it's not an unnatural sand loss. I'm going to say it's a violent sand loss because it's kind of like it's body horror, it's gore.
Okay.
Right. So if you can tick the violence box, as you assumed, okay. Not and go insane. Yep. Heading over to examine the other bird. Make another sand roll. Why not?
Yeah, I'm going to keep trying to minimize this to Emily there. That's a 07. That's fine and dandy.
I did not make it.
So, Detective Dunst, you can again lose another point of sanity because what you find here is a sort of wave of scaly extrusions on the crow's neck, next to the strangely colored feathers, which, as I mentioned, were blue and white. But this growth, which has sort of tilted the crow's head to the side, almost at 90 degrees, seems to be human fingernails is the best thing you can describe these as.
Oh, God.
God.
Nothing important here. Try to shield him as much as I can.
Jesus Christ, Lester, why aren't you upset by this? This is... I've never seen anything like this. I'm saying it's still a bit too excitedly, maybe. But...
Yeah, we've got some CDC experts out here. I've been working with them a little bit from my time in Chicago, and trust me, okay. These guys are capable of anything. No big deal, no big deal.
Okay, I'm trying to trust you. All right.
So Detective Dunst, I mean, this is not normal. No matter what Detective Green is trying to
no,
tell
it's
you, this is
really freaking
this is,
out. This is how calm he is.
Shaken, you know, your entire world here. This is. You've seen dead bodies. You've walked into rooms with decomposing corpses in them that have been haven't been found until 2 weeks later. But this is just wrong.
Yeah, I'm probably asking lots of questions and babbling on to Lester's ears fall off now and the other way around.
Is there a way for me to calm him a little bit as I try to...
You can attempt a psychotherapy roll, absolutely.
Psychotherapy there, perfect. Let's see. Oh, yeah. A few points that way, but a 91. I'm sure whatever I say is actually a little more alarming.
Can you say that this is normal? And you've seen this a lot. How's that supposed to make me feel better? What kind of world is this anymore?
Well, you know, the last time we saw something like this, don't worry, there wasn't an extreme outbreak or anything like that that killed thousands of people or anything. I'm sure this will be the same way.
Okay, so only hundreds of people were killed. That's reassuring.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna leave you two there, bickering away. And, Carlos. So, 30 minutes later, you are led to a small airstrip.
But my understanding is that I'm not supposed to go there. So.
So where's your
cop? Right, I told him to call off, and he hung up, and so I'm assuming.
Oh, okay, So you
the cop
sorry.
Is going to pull off the exit into the thing, and I'm just going to keep on driving.
Right. Now, I when I said, "Are you going to go with him?" I see. Yes. Okay. So you.
Oh yeah, and I at that point I was, and then I talked to Peter.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You just drive on off into the distance.
Poor cop.
Yep. Good. good chat. Okay, let's go back to Mill Creek. what is what's the indoor group doing? At this point, you've seen the scene. You want to do anything more here? You realize that most of the actual evidence is back in other buildings and labs at this point.
My focus would be I want to take a look at the bodies. Anything that's been
sure. Okay. So what you know is that the body of Dr. Greaves, or what was left of it, there wasn't much left. There was and Roberta, again, you were personally make a sand roll, Roberta.
Where's my dice? There's my dice. Okay, general. 54. My sand is currently. Seventeen. So, yep.
Yeah, okay. So you lost a point dealing with this before, but. What was left of Greaves' body was basically a part of a hand, and the rest of his body had sort of just congealed or decomposed, and then what was left was this thick, hard substance. You package that into a body bag, and the body of Amanda Griffin was also, that was intact. That was placed into a body bag and sent to the Snohomish County Medical Examiner's Office.
I want to go to the examiner to there, and now they said, so who was it? Who's the computer specialist we can look into?
That's Anne.
That was Anne.
Yes.
Okay, any of you guys can work with computers?
Sorry, that's me.
Yeah, that's Ian.
Sorry.
Sean. Sean.
Sean. Okay, well, can I drop you off? And if I get you in, can you look at what's on the drives and get me any data from it?
I certainly can when we're done with the house, but you were down in the lab, I was walking down with some documents that I was hoping Peter was going to look through.
I'm ready.
Yeah,
here we go. Here they are.
Your accounting is it's pretty high, isn't it?
My accounting is 50, and I will roll.
No, don't need to roll. I just need to know.
No. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Anne hands you sort of a bundle of documents, and what you can determine is that this was clearly for the construction of the lab. At one point, there was a work stoppage. There was some sort of confusion over the payment. And it looks like a lawyer, Greaves' lawyer, you assume, personally sent a check to sort out the confusion. The check was sent from the attorney, Aaron Silverman. The work continued.
Was it a personal check, or was it from a trust, or
seems to be a personal check?
That's weird.
For about $50,000.
Really weird. I think we should go talk to this lawyer person. He's got to be intimately involved with this if he paid $50,000 to keep the work going.
So you can
let the others know.
You can also figure out here that uh, Right. Okay. Sorry. With your understanding of what's going on here, you can piece together that Greaves paid for all the projects with cashier's checks and wire deposits. Actually, sorry, not from his own bank account, but it's from a company called Potentia Holdings LLC.
Right, which is based in the Cayman Islands, right?
Yes. Okay. And you can see that, yeah, it's obviously some kind of...
Well, shell corporation.
You can assume that, yes, from what you're seeing here.
I mean, you know, we all have used those accounts before, or at least most of us. So
those are two things we should be looking into, and then
that's definitely actually just pull out my phone real quick and just check, do a little quick search for this lawyer, see if he's got an office in the area where he's based.
So you actually have there's some correspondence in the files that Anne gave you, and you actually see that the office of Aaron Silverman is in Washington D.C.
Okay,
we should tell Carlos to turn around.
Yeah, he's closer.
Still closer.
Carlos there, alive, will be in D.C. can I will also bring up my phone. Potentia Holdings, is it registered as a company within the U.S.?
So actually you can find it is clear that it's a shell company. It is run from a P.O. box also in Washington, D.C. Seems to have been active since 2007, and it has a single employee listed as the president of the company, one Aaron Silverman.
I guess we know where we're going next.
Yeah, going to this lawyer, that's for sure.
Guess that's all we can do until I get on a real computer and start hacking into their files. So,
yeah,
Roberta, you wanted to go and take a look at those disks?
Sorry, pardon. I want you to go and take a look at the disks. I need to go and have a look at the bodies.
All right, Peter, are you done here?
I mean, pretty much. It's not like there's anything for me to.
Well, maybe you can go look at the body. That's Roberta.
Science on. Yeah, so.
Science team, assemble. let's head back out to so Michael, you've shot these crows, you've flashbanged this shack. What are you doing now?
So, given the, I'm pretty sure there's nothing under there at the moment, so that's fine.
Or if it was, there was, you blew it up.
It was a flashbang, you know.
Yeah, I suppose. They are still explosive.
I was hoping to scare it out, not blow it up, but that's fine. Quick look inside the windows. Is there anything inside?
No. Okay. You've blown a lot of the dust around and scorch marks on the floor from where the canister exploded, but
okay. From the tracks,
smoke still.
From the tracks that I found, is there any leading? Are they all leading in a particular direction? Are they leading kind of hither and yon? What's the?
It's very hard to follow them. So that you can sort of see signs of them where you're looking for them around the entry point to this shack. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe these are, they don't appear to be that fresh. Maybe a day. Hard to say.
Okay. So using this shack as my new center, I will start the same kind of search pattern spiraling out from here.
Okay. Okay, we're going to leave leave Michael to search. Detectives, what do you do? Should we have the detectives meet up with the science team? Because they certainly may have something interesting to share.
Sure.
Yeah, we can drop that off, but I think it's also important to stay nearby to help Michael so he's not left alone. But yes, drop the evidence off. And if they're going, into the into headquarters to look at that computer or something, we'll maybe say goodbye to them at that point and go back, or at least I will, and go back into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, maybe, well, I don't know, it's up to him, of course, but maybe Emily would be the one to go with them since she's the one who collected the computer. But up to her, of course.
Sure, sure. I'll come with you.
Okay.
Show you where it's at.
Definitely see what they say about the crows and make sure we hand it to our CDC people.
Yeah.
Well, look, if you need to, say, get them to call me if they want authorization. I'm in charge of the CDC here.
Well, I think we walked back to the house and caught you coming out. Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's just have a little scene with you guys all sort of assembled outside, and the detectives approach with two evidence bags filled with crows.
Well, I'll take a look at these.
And not just crows. Any regular crows. Look at them. Have you seen anything like this before? They have human fingers growing out of them.
Sand rolls, please.
Weird how Lester's not trying to shield us from this.
I might my sand roll.
It confirms my general feeling that Lester is not to be trusted.
I'm going to try to hand them to Walter rather than Kane.
Well, okay, so if...
Well, I make my sand roll.
My sand roll.
Let's establish here whether...
I made my sound.
Everyone sees them. So if Lester's just going to hand them to Peter.
Yeah, I mean, I'll open the bag and look inside, and if I see what I see, and I try and keep my composure after making that sand roll.
So
I'll just kind of close it quickly and look at him, kind of raise an eyebrow.
Yeah, I'll raise my eyebrows back. The Delta Green mute discussion goes on with eyebrows.
So for Peter, that's just 1 point. If you made your sound roll.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what's in there?
Yeah, I can't imagine if you don't look in the bag.
Samples.
1 point.
Pardon? What did you say?
Samples.
No.
You don't want to see.
Gee, let us look. No, I need to see.
Okay.
Yeah, they need to see it.
Emily's on my mind.
And then as the non-initiated people... Wait, we still have people that are not part of the program, right?
Yeah, that would be...
That's Detective Dunster who's telling you about the crazy fingers growing.
Take a look, take a look.
Yeah, I'll do that, and when people are looking down, I'll... kind of try and catch the eye of too bad Mikey's not here, but
draw your gun and shoot him in the back of the head.
Not yet, but be ready.
I'll take a look at that, and then I made my check.
Yeah, I mean, so you still lose a point, Roberta.
Yeah.
Did anyone actually fail?
The strongest reaction is someone cocking an eyebrow. That seems even more suspicious than these crows.
Can I take these samples back because I'd like to do a bit of an autopsy on them?
Yeah, we can go do that together.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to come.
Yes. Oh, I'm not sure if I mentioned, I am a CDC scientist, so.
Oh, you're a CDC scientist, okay.
Yes.
So Roberta, you actually, you know that the task force that you are currently operating under is, it's rather strange. The way these kinds of things work, it can be one particular federal agency will form a task force, but sort of pull in specialists from other places. You have been assigned to an FBI task force. And these agents have been sent in as the specialists from the program, with air quotes that you can't see because this is Skype.
Okay, so Peter, you'll come with me, and Anne, if you could get in and take a look at the drives, and if they need some sort of authorization, get them to call me. They have my number. Anne?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, that's fine.
Cool.
Okay, so shall we sort of fast forward a bit to you guys back at either the CDC labs or...
Yeah. I am going to return to the woods.
Okay.
Go off, I think.
Well, unless CDC labs via the... Because they've taken the body back to their pathologists, haven't they?
So the body of Amanda Griffin and the remains of Dr. Yep. Greaves are at the county medical examiner's office, which is not a CDC facility. The CDC has various bits from the lab that weren't sent off on the secure flight, but you already know that there wasn't much there. I mean, we're talking like laboratory equipment, you know, petri dishes, specimen things that didn't, as far as you're aware, contain anything interesting. You've already sort of done the analysis on those.
Would it be worth my while getting those bodies redirected to and taken to the CDC laboratories? So I've got my own environment.
At this point, now, Jonathan, I wasn't here for this last session, but that whole breakdown of events at the beginning that you posted in?
Yeah.
So we know all of that's happened, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. So then, yeah, I mean, I think it would be good if we got the bodies into the CDC. Especially if the samples went down and we've now lost all that evidence.
The samples
were sent on the flight that crashed in Idaho.
Okay. Well, I'll ring up the local group and basically give them a call.
Who are you trying to call? The medical examiner?
The medical examiner.
Yeah, okay, you can do that. So
Sorry, isn't that where it's the county offices also where the data is stored and all that? The files that were left behind and that sort of thing?
That's at the sheriff's office.
Okay.
Which is where Detective Duntzer is based.
Got it.
Okay. So she may be helpful to get those. But okay, so if Roberta wants to make a call to the medical examiner, that's fine. You'll eventually get through to a receptionist and yes, how can I help you?
I need to speak to Dr. Dunster?
No, you're thinking of Dr. Louis Stubbs.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Yes. What can I say this is about?
My name is Roberta Kane. I am part of staff from CDC.
Incident today. Yes. You're talking about the Greaves incident?
Yes.
One moment. Let me get you Dr. Stubbs. After a while, a man comes to the phone. Yes, this is Dr. Stubbs.
Hi. It's Roberta Kane from CDC. The two bodies that have recently arrived at your place, I need those bodies shipped off ASAP and brought to the CDC.
Well, I'm sure you know already that's not possible. The jurisdictional issues haven't been worked out. There's currently a three-way tussle going on between the CDC, the FBI, and myself.
Well, I'm working with the CDC as part of the FBI. And I have another CDC scientist with me, and we need to investigate. There may be some sort of pathogen in those bodies, so we need to take a look.
I'm well aware of that, but I have a stay from the a district judge saying I'm not allowed to autopsy the bodies until the jurisdictional issues are worked out. I mean, you're welcome to get a court order, but until you can do that, it's not within my power to ship those bodies anywhere.
Okay. What's this judge's phone number?
I don't know. It's just a district judge.
Okay. What's his name?
Well, no, I mean it's the particular judge doesn't actually matter. It's
okay. Yeah.
There's a court order, and you will need either that court to overturn its order, or a higher court, or you know this is a bureaucratic struggle that you know you're not going to resolve just by flashing your credentials.
No. Okay. I'll get back.
I wonder what the hours are there.
They've
got to be 24 hours.
Believe me, Dr. Kane, I want to get answers on this case as much as you, but
no problem. I'll try to get some of this resolved. I'll speak to you in a few minutes. I'm going to ring one of my friends in the FBI who I deal with, because they would be higher up in the ladder than me. I'm reasonably good in the CDC, but they would be. The FBI would probably have more sway and go, hey, can we get a court order for the two bodies? I'm worried that there may be a pathogen. Give them the description of the bodies and the names, and says there might be a pathogen, but the current police are holding out, handing over the bodies to us.
Yeah. So, what is your bureaucracy skill?
I did actually put skills in it, but points in it. I think I'm at 50.
Can you make a bureaucracy roll?
Okay. Let's see. Can I make a bureaucracy roll? Okay, so I rolled a 33. You said something about doubles.
Yeah, so that's a critical success. So you get through to someone in the FBI. What your bureaucracy role allows you to understand is the scope of this. You know, there's multiple agencies, yours involved as well as the local county sheriffs and medical examiners. It's not going to be resolved overnight. You know that. You can accelerate, attempt to get in front of a judge, maybe first thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then you will need to convince the judge that your need is more than the other agencies involved. You realize that, you know, this is going to take some work.
Plane went down.
Yeah.
If the bodies are the last potential samples that we could have, then I'm pretty sure CDC should trump all of that.
Yeah, I mean, your beliefs are not sufficient against the force of the United States federal bureaucracy.
I am going to work within the system. I'm going to organize that for the next day to meet the judge. I do actually have law and bureaucracy and all that. I'm used to dealing with that.
Yeah, so you can basically go and start filing the paperwork and getting ready for your case, effectively.
That's what I'll do.
Okay, very good. So that is basically Roberta Kane's evening. Peter and Anne.
I am hoping to get maybe a call before we had left the group. I would have asked Emily to call and see if she could arrange for me to get access to those computer disks and to the computer.
Not a problem. She can do that. She can make a call.
Do you want to, Hendrik?
Sure.
Okay. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe there's a role involved if I can make myself understood at the other end of the line right now, but otherwise, yes, should be no problem.
No roles.
Didn't want to take away your agency. So I'm going to go and try to get that computer in the disks. And try to see if I can pull up any inside information, as well as do a little bit of a hacky search into Aaron Silverman.
Sure. So they will. You head down to the sheriff's office and flash your badge. Tell them you're working with Detective Dunser. They say yes, she's called ahead. They will direct you basically to an evidence room where there's an array of two MacBooks. Two iPhones and the tower computer without peripherals. You're more than welcome to examine them within this room and you make copies of whatever data you want, but you can't remove them.
That's fine. So there's two MacBooks. I'm going to assume one of them must be his girlfriend. I will actually ask him before he walks away, hey, do you have a screen and a keyboard I could use to connect into this tower computer?
Let me go and find our techie. I'm sure we can scrounge up something for you.
Sounds good. While he's doing that, I guess I will. Are the MacBooks password locked or anything like that?
So you open up one of them, and it is password protected, and the little lock screen says, you know, Tybalt Greaves. You open up the other one and it's not password protected. It just opens up and it's on. You can see the account at the top is Amanda Griffin, and yeah, it's there's the web browser, there's
okay, so while he's getting the peripherals, I'm going to try to just go through. I'm going to open up her email, look around. I'm going to look for any documents that look interesting.
Yeah, so she mostly uses this for online shopping. She follows some sort of lifestyle vlogs, and there's like makeup tutorials and things like that. There is an email account. You can pull that up. You actually find some correspondence with what are clearly other lovers. So you know you've got sort of last night was amazing. Can't wait to see you again, baby, kind of things.
Okay.
There are some compromising photos of Miss Griffin on the laptop.
Has she bookmarked or saved her bank account?
No.
Okay.
I'm specifically trying to
figure out if Amanda is here because Greaves is paying her, or she's here because somebody else is paying her to be here.
Okay.
So if I can't find anything like that, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll just do that and sort of look through until I get the ability to look through the tower computer.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So the do you want to look at the iPhones?
The what? Oh yeah, sure.
The smartphones. Yeah. So again, it looks like Dr. Greaves' one is PIN code protected, whereas Amanda's is not. Again, opening up that, you find a lot more sort of WhatsApp messages, and clearly she's sort of having hookups or affairs with multiple men. You find her chat conversation with Dr. Greaves, and it seems like, from what you can put together, that he was actually fully aware of these other relationships. She'll send a message saying, "Oh, I won't be around tonight. I'm going out to see, Robert, whatever." And he texts back, "Okay, be safe. I love you. You know, see you tomorrow." That kind of thing. But their relationship actually seems to be. It's not exclusive, but it's not. There does seem to be some care there, at least.
Okay, I want to look through if I can get into her, if I'm in her phone. I want to look through her contact list and see if there's anybody there who seems. I want to see if Aaron Silverman is in her contact list.
No.
Okay, and then I just want to see if there's anybody else in there. You know, mom, dad, parents, brother, bro, sis, whatever, any personal people.
Yeah, okay. So you do actually find mum listed. You look at sort of the call history, and you can see that she actually hasn't called this number in 6 years.
Okay, I will still write down the number.
Sure. You find sort of there's a couple of other female friends that she seems to talk with occasionally. But it all seems fairly innocent stuff. She's mostly interested in like shopping and hookups, as far as you can tell.
Right. So I don't get any sense that she has any real understanding of what Greaves was up to.
You don't. You can also find some references to messages to Greaves saying, can you put some more money in my account? I want to go on a shopping trip. I'm going to go out shopping with
right. Blah, blah. He's her sugar daddy. That's still, they have an open sugar daddy relationship. That's fine. Okay.
Eventually, they'll bring a mouse, keyboard, monitor. You can connect it up and, this is a Windows machine. It is not password protected, and it's clearly something that Greaves uses for just his home office. Again, you find more tax records. You find email correspondence. You actually do find some correspondence with Aaron Silverman. There's quite a bit of it around the time of him selling his patent, which was back in 2005. So he sold the patent to Merck for $18.8 million. There's a fair bit of correspondence around that and wire transfers and due diligence from Merck that that Aaron Silverman was handling.
I want to see if there's any correspondence with anybody regularly around the time that Greaves was building the lab. So like someone emails that might indicate why someone saying, hey, would you be interested in working on this project? Or I'm trying to figure out if it's Greaves did this on his own or somebody Oh, go look into this.
So you do find you find correspondence with the construction companies, sort of looking back around that time. And he's clearly a very private man, doesn't have, there's not like lots of personal correspondence here. Maybe this is not the account he uses for that, but it's clearly very business like. It's about the management of his investments. And that kind of thing. But you don't find anything sort of saying, hey, can you build me a secret lab? I want you to research blah.
Right. But I'm just, yeah. Okay. And under, and this is a long shot, but I'm going to try to look to see if he has any pictures or anything labeled of like pets or whatnot. To see if that might be his password for the other thing.
Yeah, you find no looking through Amanda's phone. You find photos of there's her and Greaves, and their home life and their sex life, but nothing to indicate they sort of had a family pet or anything like that. So I will say if you're give me.
Assume eventually she's not very good at this library use thing. I assume eventually she's just going to try to hack into his computer. So,
yeah. So you were specifically looking around the time of the construction of the lab.
Well, I'm thinking actually like on the assumption that it would take a little while, a couple months before that, where there's any email or where he sent him. An email where the email address looks to be like to himself, like he has like the two different accounts thing. Like maybe he has another email that's his business account.
Okay. So the end of 2009. Sorry, let me just make sure I'm getting the timeline right here. Bear with me. Very interesting. Oh, okay. Sorry. You do not find anything around that time. Unless I've got the timeline slightly wrong myself. I will get back to you on what you find there. I'll just make a note for me to check something. Okay, yeah. So did you want to investigate the other computers?
Oh. Sorry, I'm not really interested in his phone. I'm really just his MacBook, though. Yeah, I'm going to try to hack into that. I, as a person, do not know how one does that with a Mac, so. If one can even do that as a Mac.
Yeah. What
are you trying to do with the Mac?
I am trying. So there's a password locked MacBook computer, and I'm trying to hack my way into it.
Not very easily with the modern one.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you really want me to have hacking skills.
I have hacking skills.
Computer science at 70%. Yeah, so I'd say you. It's going to take you some time. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
you're going to have to start running some stuff on it. So that's not very interesting. So let's switch over to Peter in the lab with his samples.
Well, I'll join Peter in the lab with samples since now I'm doing the paperwork.
Yeah. Max, are you there?
I am here. I'm ready with these crow samples.
Yeah. So, what would you like to do?
Probably depending on what they have at the lab here. So, I can run some tests related to biology, chemistry, and genetics. So, maybe throw something in the mass spec.
Okay. So you
see like what it's doing mutation property wise with the genetics role and
okay, so you begin a dissection on the which crow are you going to start with? The one with the fingerprint fingernails or the one with the fingers?
The fingers.
Okay, so you cut it open.
And it's just full of fingers.
It's full of fingers. No, what you? These aren't just. It's not like someone has taken three human fingers and sort of sewn them onto this crow. These fingers are growing out of the crow. The finger bones themselves, are sort of fused and attached and growing out of the rib cage of the crow. The circulatory system of the fingers is meshed perfectly with the circulatory system of the crow. These grew from the crow as part of the crow. They weren't
that's
bonded on.
That's insanely fast. This only happened within the last couple of days.
You can take blood samples from the fingers. and when you run the blood work, there is a mix of human blood and non-human blood.
Oh. Okay. Start analyzing the different blood.
Sorry, Jonathan, when you say non-human, do you mean crow or just
crow? Absolutely. Yes, sorry.
Okay.
You know what? You said there's traces of human blood. Can I match that DNA versus a sample of the victim?
Yes, and actually you can it's going to take some time to run like a full DNA analysis. But you can fairly easily tell that the blood type of the crow human blood does not match the blood type of either Dr. Greaves or Amanda Griffin.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Huh. Well, all right then. I'll make copious notes.
Yeah. But sort of, you know, looking down at these three fingers, the you see that the sort of the human finger skin perfectly goes into the crow skin. It just
It's terrifying.
A few millimeters just changes.
Yeah, it's terrifying. and horrifying. Yeah. I don't like it. Yeah, exactly what I was thinking. So can I, I wanted to take the fingerprint and run it through the database.
Yeah, you can do that. And we'll tell you what we find next session.
Dun, dun, dun.
They're yours.
It's probably Carlos. That's why he's not.
Exactly.
Probably is. That'll be confusing.
Well, nice.
Not really.
That's sufficiently creepy.
Mm.
He actually flew out and back. He had his brother was driving, and Carlos actually flew out and has been messing around. Do that next time.
That was fun.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Carol.
Catch you next week.
Yeah, I'm really liking Delta Green. I don't get to play it nearly enough.
Yeah, I've never... Have I played it? I think maybe I played a game with Corey. Yeah, but no, not much of it. But first time running it, so...
I think this is the first time that I've played Delta Green. Actual Delta Green.
It's the first time I've played with the new rules.
I love the opposing roles. It's quite elegant with the Pendragon role, is it?
Just yet more mechanics that I will forget. So.
And hello, Henrik. Nice to meet you.
Play with Hi, me. Max.
Finally.
Likewise. Yeah.
Great. Cool.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well. Let's see where this goes. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.